Oh, God, thank you for what you're doing overseas. Man, it's just so encouraging that these places that are incredibly broken see one glimmer of light and hope, and they seek it out. So, God, would you be with our team, be with this family, be with this church? And God, would you be with us? Would we continue to move forward with that kind of passion? Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Johnny. I get the joy of being the student pastor around here. And before we start, we got to share a funny student story, because that's what happens when I get up here. So I'm in core groups on Wednesday with the freshman boys and the junior high boys. We're talking about heaven. Right? So you got this huge idea, and this one kid's just staring at me for 3 minutes. And I'm like, what is on this kid's brain? So I'm like, I won't rat him out, but hey, bud, like, what's on your mind? And he's like, your forehead. It's so big, you could land a plane on that thing. Here I am thinking, oh, we're really getting this kid to think about heaven. The joys of my job surpass all others. Man, it is good to be up here. I absolutely love my role. And we're wrapping up Ephesians today. Can you believe that? Come back next week. We are going to celebrate with some of the stories of faith, what God has been doing through each of these chapters. A ton of ideas in this book. But come back next week as we celebrate some stories. But we're going to be finishing. So what I want you to do is I actually want you to turn back to your partner that I think you still like, Keith hopes so. And I want you to ask this question. What in your life causes you to pray the most? What is it in your life? We've got so much going on in our life right now. What is it in your life? I'll give you about a minute. What is it in your life that leads you into prayer more than anything else? Ready, go. All right. I love the chatter. You know if it's Todd, you know he's praying for his golf game against me. It's not working. But I don't know what it is for you guys. But what is it that leads you into prayer more than anything else? Because the way that Paul actually ends Ephesians is, I want you to go into prayer for one primary reason, is to ask for his armor. And God powerfully and lovingly supplies to those who ask. So, just a little review from chapter 6, verse 10 and on is, Stephen and Todd, we're in a war. Every day, every hour is a war for your thoughts, your heart, and your trust and love for Jesus. Every single day. And so the only way in which we can combat that we could stand firm is the phrase that's used. The only way is if we put on the armor of God. And then today we're going to talk about, so how do we get it? You command us to put this on to thrive and move forward. So how do we get it? So let's. We're just going to read. We're going to be going through from 18 and on, but we're going to go from starting in 10 through 17. So read with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then our text for today. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So as we fight in this war, as we engage in this war over our hearts and our minds, prayer is essential to our victory. The only way in which we will effectively move forward is if we are the kind of people who passionately ask for his armor. So that's my prayer. Pray with me this morning. God, it's humbling to just be a man who can do nothing to provide his armor up here. So God, I come before you in desperate need of your armor for my own faith. And God, we as a church are desperate for your armor to continue to move forward in a healthy manner that reflects you and your love for us. So God, would you happily give us more of your armor that we would move forward in trusting and loving you this morning. Amen. All right, so our first point is that God provides to those who ask. So, when you think about how do I get this? We just got these six pieces of armor that Todd talked about last week, but how do we get it? The only way in which you can access God's armor is if you ask for it. Praying. It is the one word in which so many of us have just grown up with, pray. Here's Paul's solution, is ask. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So first we got to understand, it is God's and God's alone to give. I think too many times and too many seasons, we move forward in the strength of our own might. I think too many times we move forward just assuming that we have all that we need for the battle. And it actually sometimes keeps our eyes from looking up and asking the only one who actually has the ability to give us his armor. So it's his and his alone. And the other reason I think prayer is essential is I think those who understand the war, those who understand the nature of the war, the gravitational pull towards sin in the war, the power of the enemy in the war, I think those who understand the war, they actually ask really well and they ask often. I think they pray really well and they pray often. I think their life is filled because they understand that the war does not end whatever room you enter, whatever relationship you enter, whatever season you enter, the war continues. And so the reason that prayer is essential is we need it to continue to thrive. We need it for access. Then he has this praise. So do we just never say amen? Because you see what he says? Praying at all times. So I thought, well, maybe a cheap way around it is maybe if you just start a prayer and you never say amen, technically, you're just praying at all times because you never said amen. So what do? Do you just pray in the morning and only say amen at night? It looks good. But what does it mean to pray at all times? I think I got a couple things. And me and Stephen were processing this idea, and Stephen helped me come up with this idea. But view prayer as a posture of your life, not just a moment in time. I think from the time that we're young, here's what prayer looks like. Right? I mean, is that prayer? 100%. Absolutely. Should we be doing that often? Absolutely. But I think if we can view this prayer as a life, as the way in which I actually live, you actually enter every conversation like this. God, help me. Fill me with your armor. God, I need your truth as I enter into this conversation. God, at work, I want to live more righteously. I'm just going to live like this. God, help me. And if we can view prayer not just only as a moment in time in which you're praying, but as a lifestyle, as a posture, a constant posture, I think it'll help us move forward. And another way to think of it is an increased consciousness of God. How aware are you of God in your everyday life? How much does God consume your thinking and your passions and your desires as you live? Or do you get to the end of a day, you get to the end of a week, you get to the end of a month, and you're like, huh, I haven't really been thinking about God too much. So to live in such a way where you pray at all times is to be more aware and to view it not just as an action, as a spiritual discipline, but as a way of life. Then you have this big phrase. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Praying at all times over this list of the armor that God has given us. Pray at all times in the Spirit. I think this is a phrase that's probably taken very differently in other churches. I've seen this be taken as you've got to enter into this new realm where you've got to be speaking in tongues, and if it's not that, then you're not praying in the Spirit. Or when you're praying in the Spirit, God is giving you messages and pictures and images. And is that possible? Absolutely. But this is why reading in context is so important. Is he's asking us to pray at all times in the Spirit for the armor. Right? So in this context, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And my hope is this. It means to have an accurate approach to who you're praying to. And I know it says in the Spirit, but I'm going to give you three phrases with three prepositions, okay? Two, in, and for. And my conviction is if we can live with all three of these, I think we'll have a healthier picture of what it means to live and pray in the Spirit. So the first one is this. Is we pray to, the reason we pray is we pray to the only one who can give us the armor. I think that allows us to lead with an incredible sense of humility, of understanding our limitations is, I can't have this armor without you. So I'm coming to you, to, the first one, the only one who can provide me with the armor. Then we pray in the Spirit, in the power of. Because the Spirit is the only one who can actually help us, once we've received it, to actually use it effectively. So you pray to the one who can provide it. You pray in the power of the one who supplied it. And then you pray for the glory of God to be seen through us who stand firm. There's not one person who I think in this context of what it means to pray in the Spirit who says, God, give me this armor, help me use it so that I look better. I've got a lot of people in my life looking at my faith, so if I could just look a little bit better, Lord, would you just allow me to enhance my glory and their reputation before these people? I think what it means to pray in the Spirit is you have this accurate approach to who you're praying to. So you pray to the one who can provide it. You pray in the power of the one who gave it to you, and then you pray that God would be glorified because of the result of you owning and living with the armor. So, all right, preacher man, give me an example of what it means to pray in the Spirit. Right? We've got this list from last week of the six pieces of armor. So what does it look like? Now I'm going to give you two actual prayers that are in a moment. But my hope would be it would actually kind of be this is your posture of how you live. So, I'm going to give you two. One is the belt of truth. So here's just one example. Lord, I know that I don't love the truth all the time. I know it's not the primary thing that I run to each hour of my day. I ask that you would wrap my life in the belt of truth. Remind me yet again of your love for me. Would the truth of who you are be the foundation of my life? Help me to seek the truth, enjoy the truth, and live for the truth. Right, maybe this is a good way to start the day, and then maybe you pull out a phrase in there. Right, for me, what I would try to repeat throughout my day is, God, help me seek, enjoy, and live out the truth. And I repeat that everywhere I go, everywhere you go, because you're living like this. What about the sword of the Spirit? Jesus, each time you were tempted in the desert, you used three simple words to respond to Satan. It is written. I want those words to rule more of my life. Because your word, it revives my soul. And it reminds me of the joy of walking in obedience, living righteously. So I ask that you would give me this sword to wield as I fight in this war. Whatever it is that comes to your mind, this is such a good way to start the day where you're just living like this. You're like, I need the truth. I need the righteousness. I need the readiness of the gospel. I need your armor. So there's six of them. So we're not at the application point of the sermon. I know I'm the youth pastor. I preach fast. I'm not preaching that fast today. But an application midway through the sermon is this. There's six pieces of armor. So this week, write one of these out each day. Take each piece of the armor and say, what would it look like to pray at all times in the Spirit for the belt of truth, for the breastplate of righteousness, for the shoes, for the helmet, for the sword? All pieces, take a day. Take a day and see what it would be like. So when do we do it? If this is what it means, prayer is essential because we need to ask for the armor. So when do we pray at all times in the Spirit? I think the answer is in it. We ask for his armor in everything. At all times, we ask for his armor in absolutely every aspect of our life. And I think it really falls into three chunks here. The first one is you alone for your faith need his armor. If I want to stand firm, I need his armor. If you guys remember how this section started, believe it or not, when it talks about stand firm or it talks about his strength, guess how many times it talks about it? Six. Huh, funky. Okay, six times it talks about strength, six pieces of armor. But this is what he says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his strength, his might. So put on the whole armor of God that you would be able to stand. Right? He gets through six times in this text. He talks about stand firm or you need his strength. Why six times? Not just because of six pieces of armor, but because we need to be reminded of it. We need this armor every day of our life if we're going to stand firm. There's too much going on in the world to distract us, to tempt us, to push us away, to keep us from seeing God. There's way too much that goes on in our life to not have the armor of God on. This is what Paul is saying, is that if you want to stand firm and move forward, you yourself need it. And I love this phrase in this chapter right here. But he essentially says, you need prayer and you need his armor because it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be short. Right? Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end of putting on the armor of God with all prayer, keep alert with all perseverance. The war never stops. So as soon as you take your eyes off of the fact that you are in a war, you're already at a disadvantage. But even if you do have your eyes alert, what you also need is you need a sense of perseverance. Because living righteously at all times is difficult. Being committed to the truth at all times is difficult. Another word would be impossible apart from Christ. To be ready in absolutely every situation to bring peace of the gospel, difficult. So his encouragement is pray at all times that you would be clothed with his armor and then stay alert, stay alert, stay alert. Then we need it in every single relationship. You see that he prays for the saints, he prays for himself, he prays that he can proclaim the gospel boldly. You know, we have an idea around here of what it means to live the Christian life. R-cubed. You guys see it in here? Paul lives and prays R-cubed. Look at this. 19, he says, pray for me. This is why he writes this chapter. Pray that I would be able to stand firm. Pray for me. And then, right before, make supplication. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Their faith needs encouragement. Their faith needs the armor. R1, myself, R2, these people around me who also treasure the Lord. And it's like, I want to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And that's for the people who do not know Christ yet, who it's still a mystery for. And so he lives R3 and he prays R3. I was just trying to think of the complexities of life and how many relationships are involved in our day-to-day process. We got spouses, parents, children, bosses, coworkers, friends. It goes on and on and on. And I think, how many of these relationships are we living like this? Where we're like, God, just fill me with your love. God, clothe me with your righteousness. Give me the strength to love this person. There's a ton of people on this list. And my guess is, as I've seen life, it's often the people closest to us that it's the most challenging to always live like this with. It's the people who push our buttons, who know us best, that it's often that it's hard to persevere and keep alert and always live in a way where you're like, God, give me your armor. God, give me your armor. I need this in this relationship. And then we have it in every circumstance. We need, why is prayer essential? So we've got to stand firm in our own faith. We've got relationships galore in the world that we need his armor to continually love and be united with them. And then in order to persevere in our own faith, we have so many circumstances that happen. Look at his circumstance that he's in. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. The way that Paul views circumstances, I'll tell you, is one of the most personally encouraging things to my own faith. Because this is essentially what he's saying and encouraging is, I want you to view every circumstance and opportunity to love and trust and then to promote Jesus. This man's in chains. This man's in prison. And he's like, oh, what a gift. What a gift. I've been given the gift of being an ambassador for Christ. I'm just in chains. I'd be an ambassador in a basketball uniform. I'd be an ambassador at home. I'm an ambassador. And wherever I go, I'm loving and trusting Christ, and I'm promoting him. He's in prison, and his prayer is not, get me out. His prayer is not, God, you got me into this thing, you better get me out of it. His prayer is, Lord, you've allowed this to happen. Would I declare boldly where I'm at the truth of the gospel? And the second is this, and he's such a good example of this, is our primary prayer in life, it increasingly, not perfectly, but it increasingly shifts from fix my circumstance to increase my faith. Now, I preached about 6 weeks ago. The title of my sermon was The Gift of Discomfort. Okay, this one is praying in the Spirit. Between these two sermons, my wife Brooke and I have walked through a miscarriage. I love you. God is with us. Think I've been tempted to pray, fix my circumstances? You think my natural inclination is to say, God, just give me your armor? But because I think we try to live in a way where we're alert and we're trying to live with perseverance, we have not perfectly, yes, many tears, many questions, many conversations, but we have increasingly prayed, God, we're asking that, we want a child, but God, would you increase our faith? God, the truth, wrap us in the truth. The truth is, you're sovereign and you love me. Would you wrap me with that? God, give us shoes that we would be able to move forward trusting in the peace that comes in being connected to you. Right? Chapter 1, you guys remember that God gave us everything we need in Christ. This isn't a matter of salvation. This is a matter of, for those who are saved, how are you fighting? How well are you fighting? And it totally depends on how much are you asking. So in 6 weeks, between sermons, right, the gift of discomfort, yes, heavy discomfort, and we're learning to view it as a gift more and more. But this kind of view leads us to pray well and to pray often. Now I was thinking of what in Ephesians so far has Paul given us where it's a clear evidence, it's the clear fruit of someone who's praying constantly at all times for the armor of God. And I thought of two texts. The first one is Ephesians 2:10. It's we're his workmanship created in Christ for good works. The only way in which you're going to do any good works, and good works just meaning anything that promotes the love of Jesus, you need his armor. But he prepared us to walk in those. And then I love the start of chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner, urge you to walk in a manner worthy. Right? There's the task, and there's the reason we pray. If you want to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, you pray. If you want to live in such a way where you are filled with humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love, I'm just going to assure you, because I know it myself, you cannot do that on your own strength. It's when we get into trouble, it's when we get into mess, it's when conflicts blow up, it's when we hide, it's when we continue to just live in a little bit of our sin. But guys, the fruit of this is you're promoting Jesus everywhere you go, and the way in which you're doing that is humbly, gently, and patiently. Why? Because that's how God did it for you. So why don't we pray more? I think for some of us who grew up with this idea that prayer is only sitting down, closing your eyes, folding your hands, I think it's sometimes easy to really just become a checklist. But I think there's a primary reason beyond that of why we don't pray. Because we have a really good enemy. It's because we have an adversary, right? In the Gospels, Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. It's just the way he attacks, right? The darts that we need the shield for, those are darts as they are his lies. So when we believe these lies, here's what I think, there's three things, is we don't see the devastating consequences and lethal intent of sin. If we saw more of the depth, if we were more aware of what God was doing and what Satan was trying to do to destroy, to steal, to kill our souls, I think we'd be led to pray a little bit more. So we're not as aware as we could be. And then when life is good, come on, when you got the job, you got the family, you got the kid, everything's going your way, why you need to pray? Hey, just keep doing what you're doing, Johnny. It's working. You're beating Todd at golf. A lot. And I don't need prayer for that. But what is it in your life? When it's good, let me assure you, we're just kind of cruising. But then the opposite happens. The heat rises. Doors close. Opportunities you thought were going to be there, they aren't. Things don't go the way you responded or you thought they were going to be. The way in which you think your spouse is going to respond to you doesn't work. When it's bad, the first thing that goes through our mind is, oh boy, you better fix this fast, God. Because that's where my joy is going to be found. Oh, I'll just be happy if you blank. Right? The grass is always greener on the other side. If you just fix this, I'll be good. But I think if we can become people who are more focused on our faith and what we need in the armor of God, I think we'll be people who pray more. I was in my car this week, and very rarely do I actually listen to anything. It's usually silent in my car. Anybody else like that? I know I'm strange. All right, two of us. Nice. It's kind of what I expected. But I was listening to music like a normal person, and this song came on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these lyrics are exactly what we're talking about this morning. And it's the title of the song is Lord, I Need You, but here's the lyrics. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song, teach my life, teach my thoughts to rise to you when temptation comes my way. And when I can't stand on my own strength, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you are my hope and stay. So my encouragement this morning is, let's be people who boldly approach the God who powerfully supplies us with this armor. So let's do it now. Let's start together. Let's give our week a really encouraging start where we start asking for his armor. So I'm going to encourage us to pray for a few minutes and pray for a few things. First and foremost is pray for your own faith. Where in your life would you love to see more of the armor of God supplied to you? And then think about the people that you desperately love around you that both love Christ and don't love Christ, and ask that God would happily supply them with his armor in this fight. Because what's victory? Jesus is victory. Finding our joy and our salvation in Jesus is victory. That's what we're fighting for. So let's just take a few minutes and pray that God would graciously give us his armor.